You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, you don't need a standalone Joker film because you got four of your favorite jokesters right here. It's Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show, where we talk about pop and geek culture stuff. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
Your most favorite jokester.
Oh, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over. A surprising amount of Batman-based news, yeah, as it turns out. But first, let's talk about some things we've been checking out.
Can we get like a trickster film that's directed by Tommy Wiseau?
Yes. Perfect.
Is that a thing we can have?
Yeah, why not? At this point, let's do it.
Hey, Mark Hamill can voice him too.
Yeah. Tommy Wiseau can just do his Joker, but the trickster.
Yeah, all that video was great. That's probably the only good thing that's come out of the Nerdist lately years.
That one is weird.
Mm-hmm. I'd watch a Joker movie if it was Tommy Wiseau. I was convinced by his portrayal of the Joker.
Oh, that Tommy Wiseau's a laughing madman? Yes, I was convinced too.
Harley, you're tearing me apart.
And let Harmony Korine direct it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, is anyone else here really excited to see Beach Bum?
Oh, yes.
I'm tempted. What?
Yeah, actually, that's something we could do today.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's Matthew McConaughey basically playing real life.
You should pull up the poster.
Matthew McConaughey, yeah.
Just don't explain anything. Just show him the poster.
Okay. Did you see Spring Breakers?
Nope.
No? Okay. That'd be a good base point to go off of, but you have not seen Spring Breakers, which is a very good movie. If you like being uncomfortable during a film.
What?
Yes, that is Matthew McConaughey, and also Snoop Dogg, and also, is that...
Lawrence Fishburne?
That's Martin Lawrence.
Oh.
That's the Black Knight.
Martin Lawrence.
And Zac Efron wearing some sort of headband and vaping?
I saw Snoop Dogg, and for some reason, I thought it was the Crystal Skull alien.
Also, I guess Jimmy Buffett's in this movie.
Oh, well, he'd have to be. It's called The Beach Bum.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
So,
anyway.
Yeah, take that
anyway.
In.
Yeah.
There's a movie none of us have seen. Let's talk about a movie that we saw recently. We went and saw Us.
Yeah, how was Us?
Samantha and I did. What'd you think of Us?
It's very good.
Yeah, it was super great, super creepy. It manages to be a highbrow horror film and a lowbrow horror film at the same time.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah. It was just so good. Like, I don't want to spoil it because there's a lot that you could spoil.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just talking too much about the premise, I think, spoils it. You should go into this knowing as little as possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant in the way that it'll show you an image or something and then recall that again later in a different context.
That's just really smart writing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's full of smart writing. Because Jordan Peele... is a genius.
Yeah.
I still haven't watched Get Out.
You should. It's very good. I liked Us better, though, I'd have to say. Us has a more Buck Wild plot line. Get Out is on a more local... Oh, and I don't want to say it. Never mind. I was getting close to a spoiler. I seriously don't spoil this movie. Just go see it.
It's just creepy.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's super scary or anything.
Would you say it's kind of more maybe a suspense film?
Yeah, well, it's more of a thinker, too. You can come out of it thinking that wasn't that scary, and then later you're thinking about it, and you're like, oh my God.
See, I like those kind of horror films. I think that's why I like a lot of 70s horror films, because a lot of them more like mess with your head kind
of things.
This
is definitely one of those, and you'll be thinking about it well after it's done. Yeah. Like, why did this happen? Oh, I guess it was because of this. And, like, making all the connections.
Because they want you to put it together.
Yeah. And there's just some parts of it that you can't answer. Mm-hmm. There's no answer to.
Which is, like, it's frustrating.
It's, yeah. But that's the point. I think its message isn't as clear as Get Out's was. Get Out was pretty on the nose, I think.
Mm-hmm.
This one, it's a little more veiled. You gotta think about it a little bit more. But it was so good. Like, definitely go see it.
So it has your seal of approval.
Yes. Buy the shirt.
Because it's art, art, art.
It has very good art, art, art. Thank you. That was good. I like that. I like that.
You can put that in the description of the shirt.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Add that to the description of the shirt. But if we're going to keep talking about Jordan Peele and how great he is, we also watched both available episodes of The Twilight Zone.
Oh, cool. Okay.
The first of which you can watch on YouTube.
For free.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch that yet.
And you should, because it is also very good, although the first one is pretty predictable. Mm. Although it's not like Twilight Zone isn't ever predictable.
Oh, yeah.
But it definitely captures the feel of the original show while also being an updated
kind
take
of fresh
on it.
Thing.
Yeah,
good.
Fresh.
That's what it needed to be.
Yeah. And not just a remake.
Yeah. Now, is the first episode, the one that's free online, is that the one with Camille Nanjiani?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because I've seen still images from that a little bit here and there. So I kind of figured that was the one.
The only issue I really had with it was it's hard for me to accept Kumail as a not likable character.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of supposed to be a jerk in this, and like, I'm just like, but that's not Kumail. But that's my own fault, I guess, for kind of following his career for a while. Like, mm-hmm. I used to listen to his podcasts he did with his wife back, his video game podcast. So, mm-hmm. like, it's hard to get that out of my head and just take that he's, like, supposed to be this jerk comedian.
It would be like them putting Jonah Ray.
Yeah.
Kind of, because kind of the same kind of, like, oh, he's just a nice guy.
Yeah.
Now, if they would have cast, oh, what's his name? Nerdist.
Oh, Hardwick? Oh, that would have been almost too on the nose.
Yeah.
Like, actually, almost wish they would have, because it's exactly the trajectory, like, without spoiling it too much. Like,
oh, okay.
I guess we can give the premise.
Give the premise, sure.
He's a comedian that sucks at first, which mm-hmm. is also hard to believe that Kumail ever sucked, but
yeah.
But he's a comedian that sucks because his act is too political and nobody wants to hear his political jokes. So he kind of sells out and starts making more relatable jokes. But every time he jokes about something that, or a person, am I getting too spoilery?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're just not winning today.
No.
Okay. Let's see. Do we have anything else to check out? Anything that you can't actually talk about? Because so far we've had two things that are like, hey, did a thing.
This is good.
This is good, but we can't talk about it.
Well, the second episode was also very good. It's got Adam Scott in it.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool.
And you can give away the premise of this one without giving away the whole thing. Mm-hmm. He gets on a plane and finds an MP3 player with a podcast that is a true crime podcast about the plane he's on disappearing.
Spooky haunted podcast.
It's really, really good. Oh, I liked that better than the first one.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Me too. And it goes places you don't think it's going to. Like, it gets really buck wild at the end.
I thought you were going to tell me he saw a gremlin on the wing.
It's kind of based on that. It's like a take on that, but without any monsters.
See, that's what I've heard a lot of this season's Twilight Zone episodes are going to be. They're like kind of based on original ones, but they're kind of updating and twisting them and making them their own thing, but kind of based on the like some original stuff.
Yeah, and the comedian one is apparently based on another episode,
yeah,
but
that's
it's not one I've seen.
Yeah.
Jordan Peele does the Rod Serling bit in
I'm sure he
and
does.
And he does it very well.
I'm sure he does.
I mean, I kind of got that from the two trailer spots they had, like for the Super Bowl and then the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he very much calls back to Serling without mimicking him and makes it his own thing.
Mm.
It's very good.
Kind of a more of an homage and not so much a impression.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
It's exactly what a new Twilight Zone show should be, and everybody should watch it. And it's a horrible shame that you have to have that stupid CBS app.
How dare you?
I know. I'm still mad about it. I'm still mad about Star Trek Discovery, which is also a good show that's locked behind this stupid app.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the only two shows anybody would ever want to watch on it.
You mean you don't want to watch 50 hours of Big Bang Theory?
No, or Young Sheldon?
Yeah.
No. No, I absolutely do not.
Oh, what if they do another series called Old Sheldon, where it's like set in the future?
Where he's just a brain in a tube.
No, no, just not that old. Just elderly
no,
Sheldon.
No, I'm saying that that would be the way he would go. He would forsake
that
his
is the character trajectory. Sure.
Yes, he would forsake his human body because it's weak, and be a brain in a jar.
But you're talking about...
I'm just talking about elderly octogenarian Sheldon.
And they're all, like, scooting around in a old folks' home.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the time that the Hulk fought...
Thor? Fought Thor, yeah. And then the studio audience laughs for 2 hours.
It's a laugh track. Yeah. But anyway.
Have you talked about Yoshi's Crafted World?
I have not talked about Yoshi's Crafted World.
You've been playing that a lot.
Yeah, I feel like I'm dominating the check it out.
It's fine. I haven't done a lot.
Okay. It's good.
Good.
It's very cute. The art style is very nice. Everything is within that crafted theme, and everything looks phenomenal. Like, it looks like cardboard and...
Glue
and tape and glitter, and there's even like googly eyes on some of the stuff.
Yeah.
Plays like you would expect a Yoshi game to play. It is very easy. Like, he's got at least 10 hit points.
Well, he really is like a dinosaur, and all he's up against is crafts.
It's true.
Makes sense to me.
It's cool how you can throw eggs into the foreground and background.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's parts where you walk into the foreground and background, so it's not exclusively two-dimensional platforming.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, what was that Mario game where you could flip stuff?
Oh, you think it's Super Paper Mario?
Virtual Boy Wario Land?
No. I want to say it was on the Wii, maybe?
Well, see, I'm thinking of that one of Sonic Mania, where Sonic goes into the foreground and background. Near the end of the game.
Yeah, it's not like that. It's literally there's paths you can walk back and forward. All right,
cool. That's a little different. Cool.
Yeah, it's because that gimmick's been done. It's like Mutant Muds does that,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Virtual Boy Wario Land.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can walk forward and backwards onto the paths, so it's not a strictly two-dimensional affair. This caught me as weird. You don't have to push down to make egg.
Oh, you don't?
No. He just immediately makes egg after you eat a Shy Guy, or eat something that can make egg.
That can make egg.
Press down to make egg.
To make egg. You don't have to push down to make egg.
This is really weird how you word that.
The soundtrack's kind of disappointing, unfortunately. Woolly World had a very nice soundtrack that I would often listen to while I was working just because it was inoffensive and calming.
Mm-hmm.
This one is just like variations on the same song over and over.
Oh, really?
Again.
Oh, bummer.
It's easily the most disappointing part of the entire game.
Yeah.
There's weird dialogue choices in every cutscene.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not all, Larsa!
Like, something will happen, and it'll be like, Yoshi, do you want to do this or this? And I don't know if it has an effect on anything, what you choose, but...
Just say no constantly.
Yeah.
It gives you a false sense of control.
Well, there's one boss where there's a big party ball in the air,
mm-hmm.
and Baby Bowser is like, I'm going to get something to break it open. I'll be right back. And then Yoshi walks into the scene and is like, do you want to break this now, or you want to wait and let Baby Bowser do it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. And I did both options,
mm-hmm.
and it turned out the same, either way. Either way, you're fighting a piranha plant monster.
Oh, okay.
But,
so it's like...
But just... does it have an effect on the very end? I don't know. Probably not.
I mean, it's a Yoshi game.
But it was just weird to even be given an option like that.
Yeah.
It's like turning into Detroit Yoshi's Island.
Detroit become Yoshi.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
That's it. Nailed it.
Some of the levels feel too long also. They go on for a little while. But I mean, it's a solid game. It's worth getting if you like Yoshi games.
Cool. Yeah. I don't typically go for the Yoshi games, but it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. I would say it's not as good as Woolly World was, but it's up there. But anyway, I've been talking enough.
Okay.
Yeah, shut up.
Somebody else go.
Okay, so I just have one thing. I went back and started rewatching The Orville. Do you remember The Orville?
Yeah, we watched it the other day.
It's really good.
Yeah.
It's I think that show really was not marketed correctly when it was
first
on air. It was like marketed as like the joke fart 'em up
Space Family Guy.
And that's not it. It's just Star Trek Next Gen.
Sometimes it's more Star Trek than Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's Seth Trek.
Yeah, like the episodes with the Worf analog. And,
Bordith.
Yeah, and their kid. That whole episode is like, actually, there's not a lot of jokes in that one. And it's really good.
I keep meaning to go back and watch it.
Oh, well, yeah.
They'll have like legitimate sci-fi plots. Mm-hmm. Like we watched one the other day where they go to, they have first contact with a new planet and discover that their entire law system is based on astrology. And I'm like, this is like literally this a Star Trek plot.
Yeah. The Orville is like next gen if Riker and Deanna Troi were a divorced couple.
Yeah. Sometimes it gets a little too far into their divorce problem.
Like every once in a while.
Lately, it seems like they're backing away from it.
Yeah, because I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, you know, they could have dropped the plot line after the episode where they end up in the space zoo because they seem to kind of work through most of it in that episode. Yeah, no, I really, really enjoy it. You know, Seth MacFarlane's really good. The whole cast is great.
Seth MacFarlane is always good when he gives a crap about what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he obviously, this is his Star Trek this fan is fiction his... show. He's into it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I like the, what's her name? The first mate, the one, the super strong kid.
Oh, yeah.
Alien. What's her name?
What's her name?
Yeah. I forget. I haven't watched enough to commit like all their names to memory, but I like her a lot. And I like the two helmsmen. They're back and forth because they could have gone for the easy joke of, you know, one's a drunk white guy and one's kind of a sassy black guy. And they could have like been locking horns and arguing back and forth. But no, they're just two buds flying a spaceship. And that's pretty great.
It's a super solid show.
It's really solid.
If you've ever liked a Star Trek,
give it a shot.
Yeah.
I still remember when it was first coming out and I thought it was the Galaxy Quest series.
You know what? In another universe, it would have been.
Yeah, it basically.
It might as well be. Yeah.
I mean, the uniforms themselves look very Galaxy Quest-y.
Yeah. I would not
I mean, the Orville itself looks kind of like the Protector.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in the creation process, it was a Galaxy Quest type, or a Galaxy Quest spinoff show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like how he's got Kermit the Frog on his desk.
Yes, that was that's a very good little mod, sure. Yeah. There's a bunch of like little stuff thrown in all over the place. It's just a great show. It's on Hulu. Go check it out. There's two seasons of it. Are they doing more of them?
I think so. I think it already got renewed for a third.
Good. Good. I'm glad.
Glad to see Fox investing in like a quality show.
Yeah.
For a change.
Yeah, even if it isn't doing gangbuster ratings, which I don't think it is.
I don't think it is either, but it must be.
It is very niche.
Yeah, it must do enough that they keep it around.
Or they're keeping it around to keep Seth MacFarlane happy so that they can have the next development deal from him or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's given all the, you know, these are for you shows. This is for him show. I guess.
Plus, it also helps the fact that, you know, CBS locked Star Trek behind the stupid app.
Yeah.
This definitely is the outlet for Star Trek fans who don't have that.
Oh, I've definitely heard some people say that the Orville is more Star Trek than Discovery.
Yeah. Yeah. I've only watched a couple episodes of Discovery, but I would agree.
Yeah.
I've heard that too. I did something super awful and cringy yesterday.
Great. Can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
I watched the Bee Movie.
Why would you do such a thing?
I'd never actually seen the whole movie.
It's not that bad.
I don't think I have.
It was awful. What do you mean it's not that bad? It was that terrible. Bad.
And it was a long time ago when I watched it.
It is absolutely just awful.
I couldn't tell you anything about it. I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah, but. Josh, okay. I'm going to ask you, what is the deal with the Bee Movie?
Oh, man. That's a nice lead up. So Bee Movie is this really awfully animated and even worse voice acted CGI film from...
So did you like it?
2009?
Movie of the year, 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it won Best Animated that year, I'm sure.
Starring Jerry Seinfeld.
It's like the story of Jerry Seinfeld B wants to make it with a human, right?
Kinda,
he falls in love with a lady, lady.
It's kind of a B plot.
Oh, I hate it.
I didn't even intend that.
God. Okay, Josh, let's keep talking.
It's just awful. It's like from that dark age of like computer animation where they couldn't make people look like people.
You mean anything up to about 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but it's so bad.
Okay, so why is it so bad?
Yeah, well, every voice actor in it is terrible, except for Patrick Warburton.
Well, yeah, he can't do wrong.
It's Patrick Warburton.
Mm-hmm.
Though he's like a screamy jock guy, so he's basically Joe from Family.
Peter!
I wish I could do that. I can't do that. But Peter. I wish. Yeah.
So the movie is basically about a bee.
Buzz Buzz Bee.
Barry
B. Bostwick, I believe.
I believe
that's his name.
Anyway, I can't remember.
Anyway, yeah.
Seinfeld
B. Wait, yes. Maybe his name isn't Barry Bostwick.
No,
it's Barry.
Because that's the guy from Charlie's Angels, right?
Yeah. I don't think his name is Barry Bostwick.
It's
now
very,
that,
it's very close
now that
to
I
that,
think
though.
About it.
It's very close to that, though. Barry it Bunsen?
Barry B.
Okay, we're getting hung up on this.
Yeah.
We've got to power through.
Yes, he...
Barry B. Bostwick.
Why not?
Barry B. Bostones. He's mighty, mighty.
Mighty, mighty Bostone. Yes. Continue. Come on.
He is not happy with his lot in life, or like his going to be lot in life. You know, he doesn't want to do the same job for the rest of his life as a bee.
Okay.
And everything in the hive is all about honey production.
Yeah.
And it's got like this super crazy, like almost like Dr. Seuss Willy Wonka-esque honey factory inside. But he somehow kind of worms his way into being able to fly out of the hive with the pollen jocks. The guys actually get to go collect the nectar and everything from the flowers and discovers the outside world or whatever. And kind of falls for a human lady, but it's more like she saved his life from getting squished.
They really tiptoe around it because it's weird.
It is. Yeah, the whole thing is weird. And then he finds out about how humans have been packaging and selling honey, and he like sues the human race.
They go to court.
Yeah, they go to court. Literally, where John Goodman is the voice of a extremely southern lawyer.
Now I'm just a simple
one. Pretty much. Like he's seriously, it's pretty much that like that type of character.
But yeah, this is a children's animated DreamWorks film about bees suing humanity.
Yeah, and then it turns into an environmental film because after all the bees win their case and humans can't collect honey anymore, all the bees have so much honey they just stop working, and then all the plants start dying because they're not getting pollinated.
And then they solve all those problems, and then at one point all the bees lift a jet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? It was bad.
And like... Like, you talk about how this is like a kid's film. There's a point during the court proceedings where John Goodman's character has Jerry Seinfeld's bee character on the stand, and he's asking about his relationship with Renee Zellweger's character, Veronica. And he's like, so what's your relationship? Like, we're friends. We're real good friends. And he like gets real close and goes, are you her little bed bug? And I was like, really?
Wow. This is a bad movie.
It's a terrible movie. And I think I just watched it because I hate myself. Like, ugh. Like, I felt awful about it. Like, I like bees. That movie's terrible.
But not anymore.
Just everything in the movie is weird and stupid and, I don't know why. Other than that, I watched Aquaman.
Oh, okay. What'd you think?
It was fishy. There was a lot going on in that movie, and I don't think they even know where they wanted to go with it.
It's just dumb fun, though.
It is dumb fun, and I applaud them for comic-accurate costumes.
Yes. Yeah, I never thought I'd see a comic-accurate Ocean Master. And like,
yeah, when he put the helmet on, I was like, okay.
We're doing the dumb helmet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, Black Manta's giant head.
Yeah.
With his giant red laser eyes.
Yeah.
And
that's why this movie kind of sticks out like a sore thumb against the other DC Universe movies. Because it's like, you have, you know, Wonder Woman, which is, you know, it's a great movie, but it's kind of serious. And you have Batman versus Superman and
all those.
Yeah, all those.
All that
Man
garbage.
Of Steel, then that's garbage. But then you have Aquaman that's just like, this is stupid, right? Yeah. We're just, yeah, Jason Momoa, every scene is like, hey, this thing we're doing is dumb. I'm just going to make all the jokes I can because this is dumb.
He does, but also he like...
It works.
He doesn't have a lot... There are like a lot of points in the movie where his line delivery is very flat.
Sure.
especially like his ending monologue of the film.
Yeah, well, yeah, when you give Jason Momoa anything serious to do, he kind of falters. He's best when he's just playing
bro,
big dumb aqua bro,
sea bro.
Mm-hmm. That's why he's a better supporting character than he is have a whole movie about him.
Yeah. This is there's like so many like there's not even like an A plot, B plot kind of thing. It's like they just threw a bunch of sticks in the air and wrote.
I mean, we already talked enough about B plots.
I don't know. It was just weird. I can't even tell if I hated it or not. Or that I liked it. It's just weird.
Oh, I know. I liked it.
Well, yeah, you like Aquaman. I'm not as attached to the character.
Even if I wasn't attached to Aquaman as a character, I would have enjoyed the movie because it's just dumb fun.
It is dumb fun.
It's not taking itself seriously.
So yeah, I did enjoy the fact that it wasn't like this dour, you know, sad fest all the time.
Yeah,
it's not the upcoming Spawn film.
That's going to be fun for no one.
You will be punished.
Yeah. I love that. That's his exact quote. That this movie will be fun for no one.
Yep.
And you're supposed to get excited about that, I guess.
Woo! We're gonna have a bad time.
Man, I miss being excited for the edginess of the '90s.
Hey, I hate to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
But we're actually at time for the break, so let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into some news.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 122 West Rensselaer Street in downtown Bucyrus. 567-806-5364, and online at subcultureoh.com.
Some people call me Maurice. Wow!
All right, we're back. That was The Joker by the Steve Miller Band.
That's how we're coming back?
We just did.
Okay.
All right, so yeah. Why did we play that song, Cody?
Because we've got more than one news item involving Batman's character, the Joker.
Yeah, let's jump into all that sweet Joker news.
Clown boy excitement.
More grease paint than you can shake a stick at.
Oh, boy. Okay, so the first thing up is there was a trailer for the Martin Scorsese-produced standalone Joker origin movie
with Joaquin Phoenix.
I I don't know how to feel about this trailer.
Like it looks like a good movie, but I don't know, like, not a good Joker movie.
You know, that's the exact thought I had. It's like, I think it's very Oscar baity.
Yeah,
it seems like it hits all the marks for that. I think it's going to be a good movie, but like the story almost seems like it would be stronger if it were a wholly original story and not like,
yeah,
hey, Gotham City, it's the Joker, kinda, no Batman
that we know of.
Yeah, yeah, it looks like it wants to take place in the 70s but doesn't,
like 70s or 80s.
Yeah.
I think it's like early 80s,
so the Jack Nicholson Joker,
kinda.
Like it looks like when New York was like a real pit, like in the late 70s early 80s. Mm-hmm.
Wait, you mean it's still not?
No, Times Square is like a theme park for tourists now type of thing.
Yeah. So the trailer looks like the movie is going to be about Joaquin Phoenix as a character who is like a poor, like, party clown man or something.
Or like a stand-up sign spinner, which is not a job that really existed in the 80s.
Not really.
But it also looks like he has moments where he's also like an amateur stand-up comedian.
Something like that, yeah. And he ends up getting into a life of crime and kind of spirals out because of that.
Or just being constantly beat down, maybe?
Mommy issues.
Yeah. There's some mom issues there, sure. It's weird. It's weird. I don't know how else to describe it.
And I really hate his sad clown makeup.
Yeah.
Oh, the makeup's the worst part. Yeah.
Well, it looks like it could either be a really good, like, cerebral film or a really Fight Club-y, edgelord kind of bait.
You see, I think this movie would be... Yeah, it does look a lot like that. I think this movie could benefit from going the extra step that, like, a Brightburn went, where Brightburn is... it's basically Superboy, but murderer, but there's no attachment to, there's homages or allusions to the Superman mythos, but not like anything outwardly stated. If they would have been like the jokesman or
laughing boy,
the laughing, yeah. Something like that.
I mean, the man who laughs.
The man who laughs. Yeah.
Well, the Joker is based off of the man who laughs.
Yeah. And if they would have done something, if not that, then something similar that's not exactly the Joker, not set in Gotham City.
I mean, the fact that you just see him, you see him walk into a building that's marked Arkham State.
Arkham Prison.
Or
no, it was Arkham Hospital.
Arkham Hospital. So, yeah.
Because he was visiting his mom.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's going to be good. I'm interested to see where it goes. And I'll see it in the theaters. It's not going to be a great time.
Who knows? It might be. I don't know.
I just hope the post-credit thing isn't like then the Batman shows up and you get 80s Batman. I don't want that.
I mean, it probably will be.
It probably will be, but I don't want it. I don't.
it's a very... I don't know, I'm very conflicted on the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. If you're going to do, like, a character piece of an existing character, like the Joker from comics, then pick a deeper pull so it doesn't affect the other, like, your extended universe you're trying to do.
Well, they've even said this has nothing to do with the extended universe.
Yeah, but you're just confusing
your
fan base.
True.
Yeah.
Did you see the Onion article?
No, what was it?
The headline was, new Joker trailer introduces the Joker for the same generation.
Yeah, that's about right.
But like, there's so many characters out there that you could do the same kind of movie with.
Oh,
that,
absolutely.
That is more interesting and not told a million times. Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, if they wanted to do
A
gangster piece based on a pre-existing Batman character.
Penguin?
The Penguin. Just pick a character that has a more defined backstory instead of the Joker, which is like, hey, there is no backstory.
I fell into some chemicals one time.
Well, also, in the canonically in the comics, Joker has stated he doesn't remember his past, really, and he just lies about it.
He's had like four or five different origin stories over the years because... You know, it's the Joker. You don't need a backstory. He just exists.
Like, a lot of people talk about, like, in comments I've read and stuff, and I mean, I kind of agree with it. Joker is not really a character that needs a backstory because he is a living force of nature.
He's not creepy if you explain it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Although, the killing joke was a pretty good version of
That's
it.
A pretty good version. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you were going to pick one to go with, I like that one.
Yeah, well, that's the one most folks tend to go with.
And it doesn't even really reveal that much. Like, don't know what his name is or anything.
He's just a comedian that was set up as a patsy. Yeah. Like I said, I'll see this movie, and I'll be willing to give it a fair shake, but...
I mean, it definitely doesn't look terrible.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure how I feel about it. I don't have the immediate hate as I did when they revealed the Jared Leto version of the Joker.
Oh, no, I don't hate this. It's fine, but like...
It's just going to walk a fine line between telling a good story and being edgy for edgy's sake, I feel like.
I'm a little concerned. Well, not really concerned, but I just have a feeling that the movie's going to come out. It's going to get a lot of praise from non-comic
Which is great, which is fine. Because it's a Scorsese film?
Because it's a Scorsese film, and this is going to be the first, like, comic-based...
superhero.
They're going to call it the first serious superhero or serious comic-based movie, and it's going to, like, win some kind of Oscar. Like, not Best Picture, but, like, Best Lead Actor. Joaquin Phoenix is going to get nominated for Best Lead Actor for Joker, and it's going to influence superhero and comic book... based movies
to start being more like
four
this.
Years to come because of it.
We're gonna Dark Knight trilogies over and over again. Yeah,
we're gonna get every character is gonna have a Dark Knight trilogy.
So kind of like how the Nolan verse affected what we have now from DC.
Yeah,
I'm just afraid it's gonna try and say something and it's gonna be dumb. Like the message is gonna be dumb. It's like we live in a society.
Yeah,
like it's gonna be like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what worries me most.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so moving on from that to other Joker news. Hey, Josh, you want to tell me about this?
So is it Fox?
Yeah, it's Fox.
Revealed that for their last two episodes of Gotham, because Gotham's ending, thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
They're revealing their actual, you know, like, their Joker. And it seems like there's been a pretty big time jump, too.
I would hope so.
They would have to be.
Yeah.
Because, like, I haven't been really following Gotham for a long time.
They've been teasing the Joker since the friggin' show came out.
Yeah, I know. There's been various characters like, is he the Joker? Is he not the Joker? Who is it? We don't know.
Yeah.
But they've revealed this is the Joker.
And the joke's on us, everybody.
Yeah.
He looks nothing like any Joker you've ever seen.
Well, he's got the white skin, but he's also
got like three hairs coming out of his head that are green.
Yeah.
He looks like a white painted corpse walking around.
Yeah.
It looks like they propped up some dead old guy and painted him white.
And then the trailer ends and you see him getting a batarang through his hand.
Oh, whoop-dee.
Yeah. And also the batarang looks a lot like the ones from the movie, like the new movies.
I did kind of notice that. I'm a little concerned that is going to be a thing.
I'm just hoping it's them being lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be
nice.
We
have this batarang if you guys want to use it in your show.
Just might as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should have used the Brave and the Bold style batarang that has like the reddish orange.
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
I don't know. It's just like Gotham, as a fan of the franchise, Gotham never sat right with me. Just so many things felt wrong with it.
We've been very clear about how we felt about Gotham on the show.
Yes, we have.
Like, characters should not be the ages they are in relation to when someone should be Batman.
Mm-hmm. It's just not a good idea for a show to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it would have been one thing if they were, like, just doing, like, a Bullock and Gordon cop drama.
But dealing with regular police work in a world where a Batman exists.
Yeah.
That would be a good show. Like, but a crime procedural.
Yeah.
But also, not only are they having to deal with, like, regular street thugs and stuff like that, they do have the occasional, like, street-level super villain type or villainish, like, type character, and they're constantly having to work around a vigilante who is constantly messing up their due process with outside of the law tactics.
Yeah.
That would be a good show.
And it would have been fine if they never would have shown the Batman or anything.
Oh, yeah. He's just a guy that's like, oh, this guy screwed up our crime scene again. Messed up.
Yeah.
Can't get any prints. Dang it. We gotta try harder now.
Oh, because he did this. It was illegal, so we have to let them go.
We gotta let them go and wait till they do something else. That's a good show. The Adventures of Young Jim Gordon and Baby Batman is not a good... It's not.
And Baby Poison Ivy. Until they age her up because they want to do the Poison Ivy stuff. Or the little girl cat, you know, kitten girl. And
that's the other thing. If they wanted to do a fairly realistic Gotham City pre-Batman show, don't introduce stuff like magic plant science turning a child into an adult.
For sexy reasons.
For sexy reasons.
Or the fact that they revealed Mr. Freeze and Bane.
Yeah,
God, that's Bane right. Looks so
it
bad.
It was very, very bad. It's like if someone took a picture of the Christopher Nolan Bane and said, I could do worse.
it's like that one guy that did that one dude who does those videos where he does a cosplay on a budget.
Yeah.
Where he has like plastic bags for capes and stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, as Bane.
Well, they took like the Bane movie costume and then took a Iron Man toy plastic chest piece and spray painted it silver and put that underneath.
Yeah. And then like got a dude who's really small.
Yeah. It's bad. It's bad.
Everything is.
Although I will say the couple of shots that I've seen from these future episodes with the Riddler and the Penguin, they look comic accurate. I'm okay with that. I think the guy who they got to play Penguin was pretty decent, all things considered. I think the guy they got to play the Riddler was pretty decent, all things considered.
I mean,
although,
in the first season, he was okay before he started going all Riddler off the boat.
Yeah, going crazy. Sure.
Yeah, where he was just a police crime scene
forensic.
Analyst. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
He was a Dexter.
Mm-hmm. He was the Flash.
Yeah, he was the Flash with. Yeah.
He kind of was. Yeah, he was
kind of.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. It looks terrible. I understand it's been going to this point for a long time now, but it's like.
All right. Okay, so we've been awfully negative so far in this second half. So let's pick a positive thing. We got to move on.
Supernatural's ending. That's pretty positive.
The reign of terror is over.
It's okay. They're moving to the con circuit, so it's all good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They did. Yeah, that is news that I forgot to write down. Yeah. They are ending Supernatural after 532 seasons.
Season?
It's like 15.
15? That's wild. That's way more than there should be.
The ending of season 5 was fantastic. It's like the Buffy complex. Yeah. You didn't need to go past
it. Or The Office.
Yeah.
Office did lasted at least 4 or 5 seasons longer than it should have.
Yeah, The Office could have ended when Jim and Pam got married.
I've always said that.
Yeah, that would have been the logical conclusion to that series.
Ender.
Yeah.
The second logical conclusion would have been when Michael left The Office.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even that was pushing it a little bit.
That was pushing it, but they could have done it there.
Yeah.
We did need all those seasons with Ed Helms.
Yeah, and like James Spader's like
Robert California
sneaking around in the background. Yeah.
Although we did get 2 episodes with Idris Elba as the as the head of the office, and that was pretty great.
And the farm episode. The farm episode. Pretty good.
I wish that would have spun off to its own show because it was supposed to be it was a backdoor pilot.
Yeah.
You know, and you know guys know how much I love backdoor pilots of shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But when I heard about Supernatural, I thought maybe it was an early April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It just seems like something that was never going to stop.
Like I said, they're moving to the con circuit. They're going the whole Stephen Amell route. You know, they can walk out of cons with trash bags full of 20s.
Yeah, that and maybe they'll make a movie.
Oh, yeah. They'll probably make a movie.
Hopefully it's a movie that ends it rather than a movie that tries to start it back up like Serenity was.
Oh, wow. Everyone went to see this movie. I guess we're doing season 16. Yeah.
We're doing a Dragon Quest movie in Japan.
Sure.
And this looks exciting and good. Hopefully we get it in some form, but there's a trailer for it. CG looks fun. It's kind of like an interpretation of the Toriyama designs in a CG.
And that's cool.
Environment.
Yeah, it looks nice. I like the way it looks.
Yeah, it's very cute and good.
Yeah, I imagine it's probably going to get some kind of limited release over here. Like, I could see it, like, Gateway getting it for a week or two.
Or the rave for a day.
Yeah.
And it's based on Dragon Quest V, which is my favorite game in the franchise and definitely has a long enough story to be a movie. I'm wondering how they're going to do some, because there's some choices you make in the game that affect the whole story. So it'll be interesting to see what branches they choose.
So it's going to canonize one specific pathway.
Wife, basically.
Yeah. Or what if they do like the Clue movie, like when that was in theaters, and each theater gets a slightly variant of the movie. That'd be pretty great. I wish more movies did gimmicks like that. I miss movie gimmicks.
And not 3D.
Yeah, not 3D.
And not like, every movie having an after-credit scene.
But why not smell-o-vision or maybe drop a skeleton from the ceiling or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Or like those old B-movies back from the 60s where that guy, I forget the guy's name, William Castle, he would like, there was a movie called like The Chiller or something like that where he had people sign like life insurance policies saying that if you die of fright during this movie, we will give your family $100,000 or something. Stupid gimmicks. Just stuff like
that. You know, the last gimmick I really remember was for the Blair Witch Project and how hard they pushed it.
That it was real?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, there were, like, documentaries about these kids missing.
Oh, sure.
They told the actors that they weren't allowed to make public appearances at all. You know, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, was it the Tingler that had seats that would shock you?
The Tingler had seats that would shock you, yeah. That was another William Castle film.
If we're going to be pushing 3D all the time, why not do other weird stuff?
Go to the whole 4D thing, like in Disney World, you know, that one of my favorite things is the Muppet Theater. Like, it's like a 3D screen, but like they shoot like puffs of air on the back of your leg if there's like rats running through the auditorium and like mist of water spraying at you and stuff like that. Dumb stuff.
Or like that extraterrestrial ride that Disney had that was terrifying. They did that.
Yeah.
The only 4D thing I ever watched was, it was at Cedar Point, and it was a pirate movie.
Of course.
It had Leslie Nielsen in it. as like the pirate captain.
Okay, you have my attention.
Yes. And they did weird things throughout the movie, like seagulls flying over and they would poop on the character.
I saw that.
They would poop on characters in the movie and then like big heavy water droplets would fall from the ceiling.
Okay.
There's a part with bees and like your seat would start shaking.
Yeah, I don't remember this at all. That. I don't think I ever did that.
Yeah, it was like kind of nearish to the front of the...
Do you remember the pirate ride that Cedar Point had?
Yeah, that's what it was connected to.
It was connected to that pirate ride. That pirate ride ruled.
I think I saw that movie at SeaWorld.
Oh, that was like my favorite ride at Cedar Point.
It might have been at like SeaWorld or Six Flags when I watched it. I don't remember. It was so long ago. I remember having a hard time because there's a part where they're in a cave and like a big spider was coming down and I'm so afraid of spiders. Like I sunk down into my seat like almost screaming.
In Disney World, when they shot puffs of air on the back of your leg to make it feel like rats, didn't care for that. I don't do small furry creatures.
It was just,
too much.
It was
then why you hang out with me?
Life. There's like little bumps that come out from under the.
Then why do you hang out with me?
It's just your pal Rizzo.
Yeah, and all of his buddies.
Yeah,
all of his buddies with their little tiny claw hands and their weird tails. Nah.
So how do you feel about raccoons?
Not a fan.
Because they have like hands too.
Yeah, oh, I know. Well, that's more for me growing up in the country and they'd get into like your garden and just be a general nuisance.
One time one showed up in our front yard in the middle of the day and we were worried that it had rabies and the cops had to come shoot it.
Oh, yeah.
And they missed and they shot the side of our house.
Like, don't care for them.
Remember when a raccoon tried to break into the house?
Didn't we see it in the house?
Yes. Once?
Yeah, we were laying in bed and look out in the hallway, and this raccoon just looks back at us. Hallway.
Oh,
yeah.
That is horrible. I would move. I would have to move.
Yeah, because there's like a cat used to found a way to go outside through the furnace room. There's like a, I don't know what it was.
I don't know. It's sealed up now.
But raccoon was like banging on trying to open it. And apparently discovered there's food it could get to.
Like, I imagine,
piled
like...
piled stuff in front of the door.
Yeah.
I just imagine, like, you guys, like, hearing, like, the fridge open in the middle of the night, and you go check on it, and there's a
raccoon making a sandwich.
Hey, what's up?
No, I would have to burn the house down and move. I would be done. Nah.
Well, that was a tangent.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
So, positive story. So, Child's Play.
Sure.
The charity, right?
The remake of the horror film of Killer Doll has found its voice for Chucky. And it's not the original Chucky, which a lot of fans are really angry about.
Yeah, well, it kind of stinks that they're doing this reboot when they still make those movies.
The old, they just did a one not too long ago, didn't they?
It was just like last year.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It was supposedly pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I know, the last one I remember was The Cult of Chucky or something like that. But,
I don't know. It keeps Jennifer Tilly in her poker cash.
Anyway, okay, who's voicing the new Chucky the doll?
I mean, he's a force to be reckoned with, but the joke's on us.
Oh, God.
I'll quit skipping around it.
Oh, yeah.
American Graffiti. Wait, no, is he in that movie?
No.
No.
No, that's
Harrison Ford.
That's Harrison Ford. No, we're talking about Mark Hamill.
Yeah. You know, Luke Skywalker, the Joker. Every other cartoon character you've ever thought of just kind of randomly pops up in the background.
Great.
I mean, I don't really like the idea of this movie, but it makes me at least a little more interested in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still probably won't see it because I'm
not really that attached to it.
But it's great that Mark Hamill's doing it. He's a great voice actor.
Oh, yeah. He's a fantastic voice actor.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Now, do you suppose he's going to like affect like a small child voice, or is he going to do something similar to like his kind of pitch up his Joker voice a little bit?
I don't know. Like,
Chucky never really had a kid's voice.
No,
that's true. I guess he didn't. But then again,
but
this
also
is a totally
any of,
different kind of thing.
But any of Mark Hamill's voices are never like a gruff voice. They all kind of sound very similar. Like they all kind of
Skips is pretty gruff.
Ish, I guess. I mean, he does go a little deeper on it.
It is very gruff. That's the first word I would use to describe Skips's voice, honestly.
I know, I always hear like
he's like a Harvey Firestein like impression.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's what he sounds like to me in my head. But a lot of other characters he does just kind of sounds like his Joker.
well, you know, you get one really good voice and you stick with it.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, Tara Strong could have probably done it. So.
Yeah, if you wanted, wanted Chucky to sound like Timmy Turner.
Yeah.
I'm a 10-year-old murderer.
I still don't understand why she gets to be both Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn.
Just that talented.
Yeah.
Why does Billy West get to be like 80% of the Futurama cast?
Well, one of them is just his regular voice.
So. Yeah. But anyway, this is really good casting. I'm kind of into it.
Yeah. They also released a trailer for Child's Play.
Oh, they did. I didn't see the trailer. That.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot to it.
Does he talk?
No, you actually don't really, you barely see him.
Oh,
so like, it's like a teaser, like a proof of concept kind of thing.
Yeah, like you see the red hair, and then you see like a little child hand with a knife.
Oh.
But also, there was another kind of viral marketing thing where the company that makes him did like a
infomercial about the toy or something.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
From the CEO of the company.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, they're taking it more of like a almost a small soldiers kind of route a little bit. Like,
yeah.
There's no ghost of a murderer inside the doll. It's like a...
It's a murderous AI. Which,
where's the fun in that?
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for the Annabelle crossover. Chucky versus Annabelle, Battle of the Dolls.
Are they making Haunted a new dolls. One of that?
Yeah, they are making a new Annabelle movie also.
Of course.
We're going to have to watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What if they do a Puppet Master to go along with it?
Yeah.
Oh man, that'd be kind of dope. But
get Greg Sestero in it,
yeah,
because he's in the retro Puppet
Master.
He is
in retro. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
but I remember back when Freddy vs. Jason came out. One of the movies they had talked about doing was a Chucky vs. the Leprechaun film.
I like Annabelle better though. I like Chucky versus Annabelle.
Yeah, we don't need. Well, because if they were to do another Leprechaun movie, it would continue to be Hornswoggle.
He's only in the one.
The
though.
Wrestler. But he's the most recent one.
Yeah.
And they would continue. Yeah. Yeah.
I could have sworn they did another one with Warwick Davis.
No. You're thinking of Leprechaun 4, Leprechaun in the Hood.
There was a Leprechaun Back to the Hood.
Back to the Hood. That's
there
what
was also Leprechaun 6 in Space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, there are like.
The Leprechaun movies really went off the rails there near the end. I mean, they were never really on the rails to begin with. But
I really like the first one.
Jason went to space. Why can't the Leprechaun?
Yeah, why not? Sure.
I mean, didn't Jaws go to space?
If it did, I would watch it. Space sharks? Are you kidding me?
I'm just trying to comprehend how you would even do that.
I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of an ending of
shark. Ghost Shark, yeah, that's the movie.
Shows up for the slip and slide.
Yeah. Ghost Shark can appear anywhere there's water.
I remember that. I remember that terrible movie. Yeah. Jaws goes to hell.
We should probably put some of those Leprechaun movies on our Halloween movie.
Yeah, probably.
But why when you can watch them for St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, we should have.
Yeah, you should. Yeah.
It's too late now.
All right, well, hey, I think we're out of time, so we'll go ahead and wrap things up. Yeah, we made it. Who knew? We made it. Anyway, you've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on social media at Nerd Overload Now, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram.
Barry B. Benson.
Yeah, that's it.
His name was Barry B. Benson.
Yeah, that's it.
You can email us your B-movie sequel ideas at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can subscribe to our YouTube channel that has content. Nerd Overload TV is what it's called.
Yeah, yep, that's right. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, just about anywhere else you can find a podcast, you can find this show. We sell t-shirts, bit.ly/nerdoverloadt. Or you can go to the Nerd Overload page and hit store. It's right
over
there.
That's the easier way.
It's the easier way to do it, honestly. And yeah, I think that pretty well wraps everything up. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we'll be back next week.
Peace out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.